Live coverage of the Franklin Fire burning in Malibu. It started just before 11 o'clock last night. Still going strong, although they are making progress. And you think to yourself, this is December. What are we doing having wildfires in December? Joining us live now is fire ecologist Chad Hansen with the John Muir Project. Chad, what are we doing having wildfires in December?
Well, it's interesting. You know, in the higher elevation mountain forests, it's extremely rare to have wildfires in December. But in Southern California, in our lower elevation mountains and foothill slopes and chaparral, it's pretty common, especially with the Santa Ana winds, these really dry, windy conditions. Some of our biggest fires are in the fall.
Are the Santa Anas getting worse, or do we just get bad, worse luck these days? What's going on with some of these big kind of wind-fueled fires? We know, and we watch out for the Santa Ana winds, but then something like this happens, and it kind of reminds us, oh, right, this is what they can do.
Exactly. Yeah, they can be pretty extreme. Well, certainly, some things have gotten more intense. With climate change, we are getting more hot, dry, windy, conditions. As temperatures go up, and that obviously can influence wildfire and can put communities at greater risk. The Santa Ana winds themselves have been around a long time, and they play a huge role in the fall, and obviously that interacts with climate change as well. And the other factor is that we have a lot of homes in places where they didn't exist before, so we have communities and homes in kind of harm's way in ways that just weren't an issue, 10, 20, 30 years ago.
I remember the big, big fires in October and then November. And I just looked up and the Thomas Fire, which, of course, was a huge one. That was December 4th of 2017. So here we are, December 10th. And we hear firefighters say, we always talk about fire season, but we hear firefighters say it's all year long. So really, we shouldn't be surprised that we're having fires this time of year, should we?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Especially in grasslands and chaparral low elevations, fires can happen any time of the year.
We kind of count our blessings today that we got the fire crews coming in from outside because they didn't have any other major fires to fight. We got most of the air support because there were no other major. Things kind of lined up the right way for this one. There was enough structure protection. There was the pre-deployment. But, what do you do past that, past having the engines, as many as you can, have them ready? Because they can't be everywhere all the time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There aren't a whole lot of other fires happening right now. So, focus can go on this one, and that's good. Structure protection, that prioritization is really important. Some of the water drops right next to communities can make a really big difference. Firefighters, helping people and their animals safely evacuate makes a really big difference. The last minute, defensible space, pruning of vegetation immediately adjacent to homes, that makes a huge difference too. Obviously, that should be done before fire season starts, but sometimes that's not the case, and firefighters can help there. And that's really where our focus needs to be. For me, this is the main message, is that we need to be focusing on community safety at the communities themselves. And most of the communities that are at risk are not in high elevation forest environments. They're in lower elevation areas of grassland and chaparral. And so I think what we need to do is shift away from policies that emphasize and prioritize backcountry logging, because that doesn't stop fires. It often makes them burn faster toward homes, and instead shift our focus and our resources toward creating fire safe communities and effective evacuation assistance.
We are speaking live with fire ecologist Chad Hansen with the John Muir Project. So let's talk about that a little bit more. When you say creating fire safety communities, what would that look like? How would that look differently than what we have now here in Southern California?
Yeah, good question. So a fire safe community is a community that has really done the work or has gotten the assistance to do the work, because not every community has the resources, the finances to do this. And so, we need to offer that assistance. But it's basically three key components. Number one is home hardening. And basically that means making the homes themselves much more fire resistant. Simple things like getting dry leaves and pine needles off of roofs, rain gutter guards, so the embers that are driven by winds don't land on a roof and roll down into flammable vegetation in a rain gutter and cause the roof to ignite. Ember-proof vents, so that the flaming embers don't fly into an attic space, a finer wire mesh will prevent that. Simple things will keep homes from burning in the great majority of cases. The second thing is defensible space pruning. That's just pruning vegetation, mostly dry grasses, within 100 feet at most around homes. And the third is evacuation planning and evacuation assistance. And if those three things are done effectively, the great majority of homes will survive and people and their animals will get out safely.
I feel like I've heard a lot of this stuff before. You know, I want you to give a report card, if you will. So let's give a little shout out.
Are there, How are we doing?
Are there, no, but seriously, are there some communities in Southern California that you would call out and say they are as fire safe as you can be? They've done the work?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I wrote an op-ed on this in the LA Times several years ago about the La Tuna fire burned in 2017. And that community had really done the work. Only five homes out of 1,400 burned.
And they had just done all the things that you mentioned. Was there anything else that they did?
They focused on all of those things. In fact, the five that burned, at least three of those were in a remote area that was not part of the main community where the key things were not done. And so, you know, it's amazing the difference that it makes. I also recently wrote about the bridge fire and the success story in Wrightwood. And that was just earlier this year. We had 13 homes burned, and that's always a tragedy. But of course, you know, there are many, many hundreds more that could have burned. And so when you have over 99% of homes surviving a fire and everyone gets out safely, that's a major success story. And it's all down to that preparation and that work and those three components.
All right, got to do the work. Fire ecologist Chad Hansen with the John Muir Project. Chad, thanks for talking to us. Check traffic again just a couple minutes and then more of the coverage of the fire in Malibu and how the winds are doing as they still gust a little bit before we get another round this afternoon.